Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Charles Kernaghan, who is the Executive Director of the Institute for Global Labour and Human Rights. He is the principal writer of the Institute's reports and has worked closely with key congressional committees with human rights conditions and oversight responsibilities for U.S. funding for free trade partners. He is recognized as one of the best-known speakers in the country on sweatshops, workers' rights, and globalization, and his work is credited as having launched the anti-sweatshop movement in the United States. Welcome to Background Briefing, Charles Kernaghan.
Yeah, it's good to be here.
And this latest of a series of accidents in garment factories in Bangladesh, which is the world's second leading garment exporter, is they're saying now 87 people have been killed, up to 1,000 injured. Maybe the figure will go up further in terms of those that have killed. But there was a fatal accident just 5 months ago, a fire at another factory that killed 112 garment workers. So this appears to be sort of systemic. And at the same time, the big retailers who sell these garments, Walmart, Sears, Gap, Tommy Hilfiger, and others let me ask you, what is their responsibility here?
Well, it's enormous. They just don't take any responsibility. Right now, 130 workers are known dead. That number's going to go up. There's 500 to 600 workers are trapped inside the factory now. It could take days to free them. This is enormous disaster, which is completely needless. The workers came to work on Tuesday morning, on the 23rd, and with their own eyes, they saw the building was cracked. There was a fissure that was about a foot wide and 10 to 12 feet long. Nobody in their right mind would go into a building like that. It was an 8-story building. There was illegally 5 stories built on top of the 3-story permit that they had. But the workers then did not go into the factory. The factory was padlocked. They came back on Wednesday, on the 24th, and they were met by some of the garment owners and the owners of the housing complex there. And they told the workers, they said, look, we have to get these garments out or else we're not going to get paid for the whole month of April. Now, you can do what you want. You cannot go into the factory. Well, in that case, you're not going to get any of your wages for April. On the other hand, you can go into the factory because we're telling you it's safe, and you'll get into that factory. You will make these goods, and you'll get your pay. And so the workers had no choice. They could not go without 1 month's wages. They live from hand to mouth. So they filed back into the factories, and it took only 1 hour. They left. They went in at 8 o'clock. By 9 o'clock, the factory collapsed. And it's a very deadly situation. These deaths in this factory in the Rana Plaza may exceed any other fire incidences or collapses.
And in Bangladesh, they have the lowest labor costs in the world, I understand, with a minimum wage in the garment industry set at roughly $37 a month. So what are the figures on the kind of profits that these retailers like Walmart and Sears and Gap and Tommy Hilfiger and others get their clothes from these sweatshops? What kind of money we're talking about here in terms of the wages that the people who make the garments get, and the profits that the brands sell them at over here?
Yeah, it's actually criminal. In this particular factory, to be very specific, the workers work 13 to 14 and a half hours a day, 7 days a week, from 8 o'clock in the morning until 9 or 10:30. The helpers get 12 cents an hour. Junior sewers get 22 cents an hour. And the most senior workers, senior sewers, they get 26 cents an hour. In other words, they live at the edge of starvation. There's no savings. There's nothing. Now, when you talk about the big labels like Walmart and other companies, you're really talking about garments that, in the labor cost for the garment, could be anywhere from 8 cents, 8 cents, 10 cents, 11 cents. That's what they pay to assemble these garments. So the markups are enormous. We found Nike pricing documents in the Dominican Republic a couple of years ago, and we had all of Nike's documents on the cost of the making these sweatshirts. And lo and behold, the sweatshirt sold for $22.99, and the workers' wages for the entire sewing of these sweatshirts came to 8 cents. Which meant that the labor cost was 0.3% of the retail price. So there's enormous markups, and the workers, of course, in this particular incident in Bangladesh, these workers, they just live on the edge of starvation. They live in miserable hovels that you wouldn't put lawn furniture in. You'd revolt. I mean, it's miserable housing, and it's so crowded, and the workers work these long hours, like I said, 14 and a half hours, often 7 days a week. I mean, it really is criminal, but this is a conspiracy almost between the giant retailers, like the Walmarts, like the Gaps, like others. It's not only them, but it's also the government is corrupt. There's no rule of law. The owner of the Tazrine factory that burnt on November 24th of 2012, 100 workers were burnt to death. The owner's scot-free. Delwar Hussein, he's walking around scot-free. They don't put a finger on him after killing 112 workers. Well, this factory, right now, and it's going to go up, is what we heard as of Bangladesh time last night, 130 workers were dead. Now, it could go way above this. And I can guarantee that the owner of the Rana Plaza, Mr. Rana, he's going to walk around scot-free. No one's going to put a finger on him.
So tell me that, Charles Kennigan, the Executive Director of the Institute for Global Labor and Human Rights, tell me about what you're doing here in launching the anti-sweatshop movement in the United States. What are you trying to do? I mean, I understand what you're trying to do, but give us an idea of your strategy and what people who are sympathetic to what you're trying to do can do.
Well, I mean, in some ways, you have to act as a muckraker and just keep pumping out these reports that are based on what the workers are telling us, what their hours are, what their wages are, how they live. And, of course, we've gone to Bangladesh, many, many, many times, and we've got people on the ground there that we work with. So we're pretty much on top of this, but the combination of miserable poverty, even though they work 14 hours a day, in collusion with the big retailers who don't care about these workers at all, and then a government that is dysfunctional and corrupt, there's almost no way to get out of this. And at some point, there's going to have to be laws. You know, like we can say that you can bring your garments into the United States. We'll buy them. You know, we'll really work together. But you're going to have to treat workers with some laws, legal laws. Under the ILO labor standards, all workers have the right to organize a union. They have the right to no child labor, no forced labor. They have the right to the core labor standards so that workers have the right to organize and bargain collectively. We always talk about the ILO. We talk about it all the time, but they do nothing. You know, they claim that Bangladesh belongs to the ILO, and the ILO standards are going to cover these workers. It's nonsense. They treat these workers like slaves. And so something has to give. Right now, these corporations, they have enforceable laws to protect their trademarks and their labels. And when we say to them, that sounds reasonable. You have to have laws to protect your trademarks. Can't we have similar laws to protect the rights of the human being who made the garment? These people come back and say, no, they don't have that right because that would be an impediment to free trade. So corporations have, protections for their labels, backed up by the ILO, backed up by international, you know, respect for worker rights and for, you know, the rights of the label. They have intellectual property rights and copyright laws. But when it comes to the human being, there is no laws whatsoever to protect them. And as long as we live in this sort of society, very little is going to change. And in fact, it's going to get worse. China is now dumping all of its, you know, a lot of its garment work into Bangladesh. Bangladesh has maybe 4,500 factories, maybe 4 million workers. This is going to, you know, go up to 10 million workers within the next 7 years.
Well, Charles, I'm afraid we've run out of time, but I thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Again, I've been speaking with Charles Kernaghan, the Executive Director of the Institute for Global Labor and Human Rights. He's the principal writer of the Institute's report, and he's worked closely with congressional committees on human rights conditions, overseeing responsibilities for U.S. funding for free trade partners, and he's credited with launching the anti-sweatshop movement here in the United States. This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon and assistant producer Nick Guarino. This program is available for podcasting at ianmasters.com. You can also contact me, and I'll be back again tomorrow at 5 p.m. with another Background Briefing. Bye for now.